Everybody got their own thing, currency chasing worldwide through the hard times, worrying faces.
Well, hello, hello, hello. God bless you, and welcome to Gang Talk Radio with Skip Townsend and Sister Heron. As you can see, we're looking a little unusual tonight because it's just us.
Just us.
Just us. Okay,
that's,
Skip.
That's what I'm supposed to get in court, just us.
Well, you know, it's funny. We have a guest of the unusual kind that we were expecting tonight, and anticipating some difficulty for them because of the distance they had hoped to come. And of course, this time of day, you know, it's not the time to be on the freeway trying to get across the county during these hours. So it's just bad traffic going any way you look at it on the freeway. So I had originally wanted to interview Skip because it's been a while since he and I have had conversation that we cover a whole lot of things when we talk. But before we get to that, because you can see he's my guest tonight, but he's our guest tonight, but we want to thank the ladies for coming last week. And that's Barbara Hughes, bless her heart, from the Nickerson community, because we're going to be talking about them too. And we want to thank her for coming last week. And sorry to miss Skip, but we understand. It was a kind of conversation to have Skip going out there checking the oil in his tires. So Barbara brought her daughter I don't want to mess up her name, Deanna Hughes. And Ariel, she also invited Ariel Hall, who brought her 5-year-old daughter Jade, which was very unusual because it's a very adult conversation we have here. So Jade was so animated, we allowed her to sit in the host seat, and I played co-host in Skip's absence because the subject was very intense. And what brought the show about was that Barbara had 2 of her sons murdered in the violence that has hurt so many of our community that we thought it was critically important, and we still think it's important, to have some mentoring or some kind of services, grief counseling for the siblings of murdered victims, because as her daughter pointed out, they took my youngest brother and they took my oldest brother too.
Right.
Now I'm an only child.
Right.
And so those are, especially for the mothers, those are extremely hard conversation to have. So Skip, we appreciate your absence, not intentional, but that it allowed the women to discuss the pain freely,
right,
without holding you responsible for our hurt. And that's often the case with our families. It's unresolved grief.
Right.
Unresolved grief. So we want to thank Barbara for putting that show together. And again, I want to apologize to little Jade because her father's killing was just very recent.
Wow.
And yeah, her mother hadn't even told her that he had been killed, just that he had died. So Jade, bless her heart, at 5 years old, doesn't even know how her dad died.
Right.
But that is something she's going to have to grow up and find out.
Yeah. So, first of all, thank you, Sister Heron, for having me here. And I always give honor and praise to God. I'm just truly grateful to be alive, especially as we're surrounded by so many ungodly things. And I'm truly grateful that God has blessed me to continue to be on this earth. I'm not dead or in jail, and I'm truly grateful for that. But the thing that just touched me right here is when you talk about young Jade being 5 years old, and we think about vicarious trauma. Trauma that didn't actually happen to me, but I'm going to suffer from it anyway. You know, most children, because of their age, they're not told. But trust right. and believe, they can see that their mother, their grandmothers, they could see that there's a state of depression. Mm-hmm. They could see that the mood has changed. Mm-hmm. They could see that everything is down. They could see that things have changed. And they're often not told till later right. that this, how this affects them. And like you said, they're often, because they want to be, because the parents want to protect them, they don't tell them in details, right, because they want to protect their feelings, they want to protect this, but the child knows something is wrong.
She knows,
and they just
wrong.
Don't know what.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not glad, but I'm glad that the conversation started with the mom, mm-hmm, and Jade about, well, this is what really happened to your dad, mm-hmm, because she's going to need help.
Yes. Well, you know, it raises the other question for all of our parents. At what age do you tell your child the truth about this? You know, Jay's only 5, and bless her heart, she's just at the beginning of her life now, facing a tragedy in her own personal environment.
Wow.
You know, her mom is, of course, devastated and disappointed, of course, that her baby, her only child's father, is now dead and dead to this violence. How does she introduce that tough subject? At what age?
Right.
You see, that becomes a question, and I understand her mother trying to protect her from that, because the news is bad enough.
Well, the one thing I say about that is, if I start with a cover-up at the age of 4 or 5, if I start with a lie and I'm going to cover up some facts at 4 and 5 years old, if the lies are going to continue to pile on at the age of 12, 13, and 14, and now when this child becomes 15 or 16 years old, if I decide now is the time I want to tell you the truth, or not even me. A lot of times they find out the truth from their older cousin.
Yes.
They find out the truth from some older family members who being mean to them.
Yeah.
Like, your daddy didn't die, girl. Your daddy was killed.
Yeah.
You know, your
yeah.
daddy was tiny monk or whatever, and now he got shot by these dudes,
mm-hmm,
and that it's traumatizing.
Yeah.
So I would say,
find out that
yeah,
way.
I don't want them to find out by their cousins
not
or by
way.
Some little kids at mm-hmm. school who's being
yep.
mean.
Yep.
So I would rather, at the age of 4 or 5 years old, let's sit down, let's begin this conversation. It's a difficult one. You may not get it all right now, so let's revisit this conversation again at the beginning of the year,
yeah.
when summer starts. Let's, you know, and every year keep talking about it until she becomes okay with it and she truly understands it. I mean, she'll never be okay without mm-hmm. having her father, but at least be okay with this story is the truth, and I grow up knowing the truth.
Well, I agree with growing up knowing the truth. It's just, at what age do we start filling them with information about this nightmare? Right now, she's 5 and she's innocent. And look, it's a very adult conversation we had last week. And if you listened, you know that sister's really upset about how many have forfeited their lives to this violence. And I use words like the ignorance of it, okay, costing lives, the ignorance of it. And then pimp came out of my mouth. I said,
in what context?
Are being pimped. And Jade, show you how they're paying attention. Jade was not only coloring, but she was listening to this adult conversation. And the minute that word came out of my mouth, she popped up and said, I don't like that word. I don't like that word. And she was absolutely right. But this is an adult conversation, and adult language comes with the conversation. I think it's too old for a 5-year-old. That's yeah. really what my concern is. If we're going to continue this, we're going to have to prepare our kids, what, at birth?
Yeah, and yeah. You're absolutely right. And I would start preparing my children at birth, as I've done Carter and Cody. I didn't mm-hmm. do with the older ones, but I do with the younger ones, because I want them to know the truth.
Right.
I don't want my child believing in the Easter Bunny. I don't want them right. believing that Santa Claus is coming down the chimney. I want them to know that sometimes if I might go to the store, something can happen to me,
mm-hmm.
either by somebody in the community might want to hurt me. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just talking before we went on air, me and the producer here, the engineer, what's up, POTUS? We were talking about
Wonder Woman.
We were talking about a man who was on drugs, who was robbing people, and
yes.
you know, POTUS said, "Well, I kind of might have felt for him until I saw what he was doing to older people."
Yes,
you know. So here's the thing. So I need to tell my children that there are people in this community who may want to victimize us,
yeah.
who may want to victimize people because they're old or people because they're weak, you know. And it's not because we're bad people, because they have a drug addiction,
mm-hmm.
and there are people who are out here hurting people. I need my children to know that.
Yeah.
I don't need them to live in this euphoric type of atmosphere in their mind,
yeah.
but then I put them right back in South Central on Crenshaw and Vernon, or Vernon and Western, and now they wondering why are we getting shot at, or
right, yeah.
why are the police
yeah.
chasing those guys down the street? And, you know, I want them to know the truth. I want them to understand that.
I agree with you, especially with Carter and Cody, because they're young men.
Right.
Okay, they cannot live in ignorance of not knowing the right. threat that faces them. And the sad reality for those two babies is that it crosses the line. It's yes. not just community. It could be law enforcement, too.
Right.
You see, whereas the threat is not really attached to Jade, it doesn't make her any more safe than the 12-year-old that was killed in Victorville last night.
Man, I heard about that.
My God. Really?
I heard about that.
Who walks up to somebody's family window and just shoots through it? Come on. And you kill a 12-year-old, and then you think it ought to be okay for you to go home and eat and take a bath and watch a Laker game? Really, I
well,
just say that all the time.
What's going to happen, whoever that was that killed that 12-year-old eventually will go to prison, and after 25 years, they'll be given the opportunity for parole. And what's going to happen is there are going to be so many people saying, hey, they've served enough time. Okay, let them come home. Mm-hmm. And then how do we justify that when this 12-year-old will never come home?
Never coming home.
But there are going to be
never
people, and I know because I've done it myself. I've been one of those people who, argue that there's enough, let this person come. And but, I mean, how could I even fathom that? How can I fathom that you have hurt a child and then 25 years or 27 years from now, people are going to say, hey, they need to come home and be with their family. But this 12-year-old will never grow up to be with her family.
I'm not an advocate for murderers. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I'm just not an advocate for murders. And I do have a consideration for early release for personal crimes, that you commit against yourself, like what caused a ruckus in Nickerson Court last night. I'm so stupefied by that. That shouldn't have even been an event. It should not have even been an event. But before we get to Nickerson, because we're going to talk about that because it ties in with law enforcement and how far backwards we're moving with them. Ties in with law enforcement. But here again, this 12-year-old child, the murderer, does not deserve to walk free.
Right.
You see, if you're bold enough to walk up to someone's home and just fire in the window that way, you're bold enough to do that to somebody else. You see, so we have to catch them. As a community, we deserve not to allow them to have the freedom to come and do that to anybody else. And that should be a community agreement that we want the murders out from amongst us. And so anything else you want to say about that?
Well, no, just to go back to Aaron Shannon, 5-year-old that was killed in in the alley over on, and what
the
community
Spider-Man
did? Spider-Man suit. He was 5 years old.
Halloween.
And do you know what happened is the community said, hey, y'all get up out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, that was the beginning of the community starting to speak and saying, we will not tolerate things of this nature. We won't tolerate shooting of children, and you just can't hide with us.
Yes.
Even the shooting that happened in the jungles, I want to say Caitlin Avila?
Yes.
Is that her name?
Caitlin Avila. Uh-huh.
Right. So she was a child as well.
3 years
and
old.
Caught up in something. And the community comes out and says, nah, we're not with this. Not shooting children. So,
and the shooter was 17.
Right.
Okay. He really came to kill her father.
Right.
And killed her instead.
Right.
All right. His family made him turn himself in. His family. They would not let that 17-year-old come home knowing that he had killed a 3-year-old.
So,
okay?
My hat off to the family members that say, I don't want my children to be victims, but I'm not going to allow them to be the suspect either.
No.
I don't want them to be a victim or a victimizer. So.
And the sad other part of that story is a young man that drove him around there to kill Caitlin's father had just come home from college.
Wow.
He had just graduated college and threw his whole future away driving that 17-year-old around the corner to commit murder.
Right.
You see, it's such a crazy notion. I'm not sure what the beef was between the 17-year-old and Caitlin's father, but clearly there was a beef.
Right.
Something was not right that 17-year-old wanted to come take his life and ended up taking the life of his daughter. So these are things we can't explain. We just know that there's a conflict in there that deserves to be resolved a different way. And murder just can't be it.
Right.
You see, because in the case of the 12-year-old in Victorville last night, what was she guilty of?
Just being at home.
What was little Aaron Shannon guilty of in his Spider-Man costume on Halloween?
Just being at home.
Yeah. And you knuckleheads decide that's the night you want to go and shoot up, and you just see anybody in the alley, because that's what the police told us. They just walked down the alley looking for a target. Right. What? And the fool that pulled the trigger had an 18-year-old with him, teaching him this is how you do it.
Right.
It's just a phenomena that just doesn't make any sense. But sister doesn't have any consideration for murderers. I'm sorry. I just can't.
Let me just share on a positive note. I'm going to say a couple of negative things. There's a couple of negative things, but it's positive. So a couple of days ago, there was a shooting at Carolyn's Kitchen on the east side, where one young man was shot in the leg, and it really traumatized all the patrons inside the place of business or whatever. But the young man didn't die. So I want to say that I had a conversation with Deputy Chief Phil Tangarides yesterday, and he told me there was one homicide in 3 weeks in South Bureau. He said in a 3-week period there was one homicide. It was a stabbing in the one ways, which for those of you who don't know the one ways, between the Imperial Courts and the Jordan Downs, there are streets where you can actually only go one way. So we call them the one ways. But there was a party in the one ways, and because of that, there was a boy versus other boy over a girl and was stabbed. But anyway, we got a caller.
Well, that was from a girl.
Right.
Yeah, a conflict over a girl.
Right, so that's not even gang related.
Yeah, but gang members fight over women too.
Right.
Come
on, but that don't make it gang related over a girl.
No, it doesn't, but it has happened. So
Is that a girl on the phone? Let's fight over.
This is a woman on the phone.
Okay.
Okay, woman on the phone. Identify yourself.
I thought
please.
That was a boy. Go ahead.
My name is Petra Fontilla.
Petra. My girl.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm glad to hear that, because you know we love you.
My
sister loves you. And I
couldn't be here, but the next best thing was to call in.
Yeah,
so
well
here
that's okay, because we were expecting a 12-year-old young lady here tonight, and I didn't feel qualified to really talk to her on a level that would be appropriate, and I really wanted you here to kind of guide her, because I'm sure she has a lot of questions that she's outside.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so maybe you're just in time.
Right. Oh, maybe.
Yeah, maybe you're just in time. So, Skip, why don't you slide over there?
Yeah, I'll slide over.
And I'll slide over here.
Yeah, I'll slide
and
over.
We'll let our guests slide on
can,
in.
Can you hold on 1 second?
Yeah, girl, don't go away.
Yes,
don't go away.
I won't.
I'm so glad you called.
Yeah, I'm glad you called too. So look, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna go to break. So listen, Petra, I'm gonna let Stevie Wonder sing to you. This is my birthday gift to you. Don't say I ain't never got you nothing for your birthday. I'm gonna have Stevie Wonder sing.
Late,
I'm gonna have Stevie Wonder sing directly to you. Listen.
Yeah, all right.
God bless you, community family, and welcome back to Gang Talk. As you can see, we have our two guests in studio now. We had to take a break to let them get in, so we're happy that they made it. So you know this young man because he's been here before. So introduce yourself, please.
I am Marcus Woods, and I brought Leah here because in her area, it's a lot of youngsters that portray gangbanging, and she has a lot of questions for it. Not only that, but she always asks me about race. You know, she's partly black, so she doesn't know that side of herself. So she's always asking about it. So I decided to bring her here so she can ask, you know, those who are older even of me. And she can kind of get the answers that she might need that I haven't gave her already.
Okay. Leah, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your background and what interests you had in coming here tonight.
Okay, my name is Leah. I came.
She brought her stuff down.
To help kids understand gang violence and why they should not do and say the things that they do.
Okay. All right. Petra, you still on the line?
I'm still here.
Okay. Petra is someone.
Huh? Oh, I was saying, yes, ma'am.
I was just telling Leah that Petra is someone special. I wanted you to speak with, to help you understand the girl side of this, what we need to do for ourselves, that kind of thing. So I'd like for you to address your questions to her.
Okay.
Hi, Leah.
Hi.
Hi. I don't have all the answers, but I would do my best to give you insight on whatever questions it is that you might have.
Okay.
So I'm ready when you are.
We're all ready, Leah.
Leah's sitting here waiting like you need a teleprompter.
My question is, why do young people think it's okay to... say that they're in gangs, but they're not.
Mm. Pretend.
Did you hear that, Petra? She said...
Yes. Yeah. Why is it okay for them to say that they are in gangs when they are not?
Right. Or why do they think it's okay?
When I was young, before I got jumped in the gang and I was running around claiming the neighborhood and doing the things that I was doing, it's because I wanted to fit in.
Did you
I'm
hear?
The only girl out of five kids. So it's like my brothers didn't want me around because I'm a girl. But then they couldn't go because unless they took me with them. So they're feeling some kind of way because they don't want their sister around. I'm feeling some kind of way because I just want to be a part of the in crowd and have fun and hang out. So then I started doing things just so that I could fit in. So if I can hop this gate faster than one of my brother's friends, then they're cheering me on. If I fight this girl and I beat her up, they're cheering me on. So I did the things that I did, seeking the attention and wanting to fit in, not realizing that I'm trying to fit in with the wrong crowd.
And you know what? Bless your heart. They used to call those cliques. When I was in school, that was a clique. You just wanted to fit in with that crowd. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now it's a different kind of crowd that you're, in some cases, being forced to join in. But Leah... is talking about the volunteers like you, girl.
I volunteered. I signed up for it. So because I ran around saying that I was from the hood and I wasn't, it got to the point where it's now you either need to get put on or you need to get up out of here. Mm-hmm. You can't claim the hood if you're not from it. So either you're going to take this, we call it five-man phase. I had to fight five other girls that were already from the hood if I wanted to be a part of it. Not realizing how stupid it is. Right. Like, why do I have to fight you in order to be your friend?
Right.
I don't want to fight my friends.
Right. I think the biggest thing that she like, you know, in the question, I don't know why she's so quiet right now, but...
Now's not the time to be quiet.
Yeah. But, I mean, the questions that she asked me is more of, like, she got friends at school who...
No, older friends.
Yeah.
From high school.
Why don't you let her tell that part?
Yeah, there you go. Now you want to talk.
Like, older friends from high school, they're like freshmen. They like to say they're in a gang, but they're not.
Pretenders and wannabes showing off.
Wannabes.
Pretenders and wannabes. Go ahead, girl.
Yeah, some people pretend that they're something that they're not, thinking that it's going to boost their image. Thinking that, okay, well, if I say I'm from this gang, then maybe these people over here won't bother me because they know I have these people over here to back me up.
And then they got those who come up to where she at. Oh, I'm from Compton, and you know,
like
I'm
somewhere
from
on Riverside.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
They holler in Compton, but they move to Riverside.
Yeah, you know, and those are the ones that's in my understanding that's up there basically getting these youngsters who want to fit in. To believe that that's cool, you know. So, as of late,
I can assure you, it's not cool.
Yeah.
Say that
because
again.
Living,
say it louder and say more
lifestyle.
About it.
Living this lifestyle, you only have two results. You're either going to end up dead or you're going to end up in prison.
Right. Now, you know, there's something.
Me,
there's something in the middle too, Petra.
I ended up in prison and was fortunate enough to not die. When the choices that I made, it was plenty of people that tried to take my life
while I was out here pretending to be something that I wasn't. Because I'm really a sweetheart.
Yes, you are. A hardhead, but a sweetheart.
I was out here in the street, I had to portray this image to make people realize, like, okay, I'm not the person to F with.
Yeah.
So I had to fight so that people wouldn't bother me. I had to involve myself in other things to make people know that I'm not the person that you need to be messing with. Right. But in reality, it's like, that's not really who I am.
You just needed a hug.
I just needed a hug. A whole lot of hugs.
A whole lot of hugs. You're right about that. But when
I needed to be loved, and I was looking for it in the wrong place. Let me
ask it this way. Wasn't it more your peers, the influence of your peers, than anything else?
I can't even say my peers were an influence, because it's not that they were forcing me to do it. I was pretty much fascinated with the lifestyle and the things that I was seeing outside of my home, and I kind of gravitated towards that because, with me being the only girl out of five kids, they kind of wanted to shelter me from everything, didn't want me to do this, didn't want me to be exposed to that. So once I was finally exposed to it, I was intrigued with it. So then it's like, okay. And then I started doing the negative things. And like I said, once I started receiving the praise from my peers for the negative things that I was doing, it made me want to do it more, because now I feel like I'm part of the in crowd.
Right. Well, by then time, it was family, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
That became my family. I kind of left my biological family alone and gravitated towards the family that I chose, that I felt accepted me for the things that I was doing, not realizing that if I have to do these things to be accepted, then maybe this isn't where I need to be. Because I didn't have to do that over here with the other family. All I had to do was go to school, come home, do my homework, wash some dishes here and there, take out the trash, and everything else was provided.
Be a good daughter.
But look, Petra,
I wasn't happy with that.
One of the things you said, though, you said two things, dead or in jail, this is where it lead to. But there's a third thing in there, too. There are people who get shot who live, but now they have the
scars.
No, the bag that fills up with pee, urine, and boo-boo. Yeah. Right. Okay, yeah. So I want to say that because it's
is that really living?
Right. So there are people who are in wheelchairs. There's a dude, matter of fact, come out of your community. I don't know his name, Petra, but he come out the August block somewhere over there. And he is the coolest thing in a wheelchair. He has on red shoes, red hat, red every day. But he can only operate the motorized wheelchair. He cannot use his hands, but he still is sagging. And I've seen other guys. Yeah. There's other guys who wear blue all day in their wheelchair. And they, you know, I mean, it's hot outside. It's 89 degrees. And they got these bags on them and it stink.
Yeah.
And that is a type of life I don't want.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people in wheelchairs, they got to, you know, maneuver. And one of our good friends, Eric Gibson, who was a part of a ceasefire committee, actually said that when he saw the eyes of the girl he was talking to get so big that he knew something was behind him that was wrong, and then he got shot 5 times. Right. But he said when he got to the hospital, he kept asking the paramedics, what is this white stuff on me?
Hmm.
It was all this white stuff. And it was actually brain matter from the girl who got killed, who got shot in the head. So this is the type of stuff that people don't talk about. That's, you know, in the 9th or 10th grade, you know, so when we say our peers, no, it wasn't a peers. Mm-hmm. It's like, what grade are you in, Leah?
I'm a 7th.
So the 7th grader is not looking up to the other 7th grader. She's looking up, I don't want to speak for you, but when I was in 7th grade, I'm looking up at the 9th grader, the 10th grader.
Right.
I want to be like them, not my peers. Right. I want to be like those that are older than me, and then that separates me from my peers. Now I got that self-esteem. Mm. Like, I'm a part of something. You 7th graders, y'all not grown like me. I'm a part of what these 9th and 10th graders do. Mm. So it takes somebody like Petra to say, you know, tell her about how long you spent in prison. I did not want to spend the weekend at my auntie house. My grandma, I would cry like, Mama, come get me. I didn't want to be gone for a weekend. But you're talking about 12 years?
Yeah.
I served 12 years in prison from running behind my gangbanging friends, committing robberies, carrying guns, assaulting people, false imprisonment, stealing cars, taking the police on high-speed chases. it's only by the grace of God that I'm still living right now.
Yes. And it is by His grace, because you're here to guide our next generation of young girls, so they don't glamorize it. They don't find any glamour in it, that it is a threat to your body and soul, really,
it
ultimately.
Back then, I had no idea what my worth was as a young girl and how much more I would be worth as a woman.
Yes.
So I was looking for love from the wrong people to validate my existence, when in reality, I just needed to love myself, respect myself.
Would it be fair to say that is a conflict in the teen years, trying to find out who we are, where we're going, where we fit in? Because I see similarities in my history, too, in the same age, uncertainty. The teen years are full of uncertainty, and even with my own children, their peers' opinion became more important to them than mine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I see generational similarities in our youth, but in your youth, it just took a bizarre turn that became murderous, murderous, and certainly cost you more than... you should have paid, Petra, but it's the experience itself that should encourage Leah to hold her ground wherever she's headed, to make sure that she gets to her destination without that kind of distracting influence.
Absolutely. I wish I had people that have gone through the things that I've gone through to show me that side of it, because I saw the glamorous side of it. Okay, I see the drug dealers. They got money. They got cars. They got nice clothes. They got jewelry. Okay, I want that. I'm not knowing that they probably almost died trying to get the money, however, whatever way they decided to get that money, because it wasn't from going to a 9-to-5 job.
Right.
I'm not knowing they almost died trying to rob this person over here or trying to do something over there in order to be able to pull up on the block in that nice car in those nice clothes.
Right. So, but in the seventh grade, though, Petra, let's go back to the seventh grade, because I really didn't care about no car, none of that in the seventh grade. Like I said, if I was in the seventh grade, I'm going to look at the ninth graders. Mm-hmm. So the question that I did hear was, why are people older than me in high school, even if they're freshmen, why are they claiming to be something? So in other words, like, say, for example, I'm following the leader. I'm following Tommy. And Tommy know how to dance real good. And as I get older, I'm following Tommy. And when I get old enough, I realize, man, you a clown, homie. You Tommy the clown. I've been following a clown this whole time. You know what I mean? But I don't know that when I'm in the seventh grade.
Right.
I just know that this is the cool dude who could dance real good. So how do we address the seventh? Because you're right, when we're talking about these uncertain years, how do I become a strong person? How do I build this foundation to where I don't give a nothing about what somebody feels about me going to school, and I want it to be cool to go to school and carry my books and get straight A's and sit in the front of the class and not be distracted? How do we address that?
Well, that's when I need to live in my own truth and be my own self, and instead of being a follower, that is when I would want to be the leader. So if everybody else is over there doing that, okay, well, I don't want to follow everybody else. I want to be the one to set myself apart, so I'm going to go to school. I wish, like, I don't know what, I would have listened to my parents. At the time, I felt like, oh, you just don't want me to have any fun.
Yeah.
You're old, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then when I was sitting in that jail cell and they told me I had 15 years total, I couldn't see the end of that. I was sitting there wishing I would have listened to my mama, because, she didn't just want me to not have fun. She was trying to keep me from ending up where I'm at right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She was trying to tell me to be my own person and have my own mind and not follow everybody else. Because it's like they say, if somebody goes and jumps off a building, are you going to jump with them?
With them, yeah. And you know, truthfully, the context, the definition of a gang by its very nature is a threat. It's a threat to your safety. It's a threat to your future. It's a threat to your life. You see, and so it becomes at this time, at this at this time of the game, why would you be involved with it? Why? Why would you follow it? Why would you think it's a good thing? And this is the attitude that Leah really needs to receive. Why would you look up to that and think that they were anybody you'd want to follow? That's a question
some people
for you.
Don't have, if you don't have positive role models, like at Second Call, we always say, if you hang around 9 bank robbers, it's only a matter of time before you become number 10. Mm-hmm.
All right, what'd you go to prison for?
I went to prison for bank robbers. Only I wasn't number 10, no, I was number 1.
Right. But that's true. See, because they had you thinking that would be the fun thing to do and you're right. going to get paid. No, and so,
exactly. It's
you
like,
know.
Okay, they did it. They got away with it. They mm-hmm. made it look easy. They made it seem exciting. So it's like, hey, I can do that.
But the truth is you didn't get away with it. And they didn't get away with it either, maybe for a moment.
I got away for so long, but everything that you think is good will soon come to an end. So I got away with a lot of things, maybe from 13 to 26. At 26, it came to an end. It all catches up with you. Everything that I've done negative in my life from the age of 13 up until I got arrested at 26, it all caught up with me.
Yes.
Hey, you know what? It reminds me of a Domino saying, the same thing that make me laugh and make me cry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
And at the time, I had the mentality like, well, I'm living my life. I'm going to do what I want. It's not going to affect anybody but me. When in reality, it affects everybody that loves me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
It affects everybody that cares about me.
Yes.
So
they wanted so much more for me than what I ever even felt that I deserved for myself. Mm-hmm. And it took for me to get sentenced to 15 years in prison, in which I served 12 of those years, to realize that I'm worth more than what I subjected myself to. I've been settling for less all of the time, and I don't have to.
Right. And here again, I'm going to say in your age group, see, Leah has a different option. She has a different option. I'm sure there may be that element out there, but they are not the majority. They're not the majority. In your age group, Skips and Marcus, everybody had to make a decision based on where you lived. You had to align yourself with the neighborhood you came
right.
from.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, so Leah doesn't have that kind of pressure. She's out in a place where she has options.
She has choices.
She
right.
has choices. Right. Yes.
So what choice are you going to make, Leah?
To be in school.
Is that cool to be in school?
Yeah.
Is it cool to... Is it cool to understand the work? You know, I know so many people who used to dumb themselves down. Mm-hmm. Like, say, for example, if you're excelling in something, if you're doing really good in math and say I'm your friend and I'm doing horrible in math, and I say math is stupid, I don't like math, are you going to agree with me that math is stupid? Or are you going to share that you enjoy it and you like doing it?
Or even tutor him. Say, what part of it don't you understand? Can I explain that to you? See, because that's the kind of help we need to be giving each other. What you don't understand, can I help you with that? Can I explain
right.
that
exactly.
to you? Yeah.
Right.
Can I make
work
it make
together
sense?
And get an understanding.
Yeah. But she didn't answer, though.
Yeah.
What
no.
you going to do? You going to teach me math? You going to say math is cool? How you going to deal with it?
Teach you math and tell you it's cool.
Okay. You got a twofer.
Well, you can teach me math, because if it's not counting my money, I hate it.
Well, look.
I cheated my way through, man. I can count my money, your money, and everybody else's money. But you put some math problems in front of me, I'm cheating on somebody's paper because I don't know how to do it.
Well, we're going to retract that. So we're going to have to blank that out because we don't want Leah cheating us.
Right.
It's not cool,
well,
no, you know,
don't.
Cheating. Right.
Please don't.
So I
want Leah to tutor me in math.
Well, she's going to have to tutor me too.
Right,
so
yeah.
I don't want you to think it's just you and Skip. I never was good at math either. So I still need a tutor and a calculator.
I just don't like English.
What, you want to speak Spanish?
No, I'm talking about the English class. I
so
don't
what
like,
you want to take
like,
German
write,
or something? What
no,
you
do?
You know how adverbs
I write.
And verbs
I don't like all the. You
got to
change your punctuations and grammar. It changed the whole.
So
context,
you one of them dudes that just read and you never stop at the period?
No. I'm talking about
you know. You ever seen them dudes that just read, just read the whole page and never stop? Like
I do that. I know how to do it, but it's in the way that I write it. And then when you get a teacher who probably been a English teacher for 30 years, oh, that's not correct. It changed the whole context of what I'm writing. Wow. So it messes it up for me.
It messes it up. Math, so the English language is messed up. And for Marcus, and we're going to have to change
that. I didn't say the whole thing.
That's off topic anyway, so. Now,
I wanted to ask Petra a question because, I know for me, it didn't immediately hit me when I got my prison time. You know, I did 17 myself, so.
It didn't hit me immediately either. I still had a messed up attitude and didn't care and still had no respect for life and nobody trying to live it. But when I realized I'm in somebody else's house,
yes,
and if I don't follow their rules, yes, I'm going to have to continue to pay the consequences. This 15 years can easily turn into a life sentence.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I got to a point where this is not what I want for the rest of my life. Exactly. I don't want to be dead. Right. I don't want to spend the rest of my life in jail.
You don't want to be looking over your shoulder and watching them COs shooting guns your way and nothing's happening. You know, exactly. when them yards go down and you got a lot. All you see is commotion. You see a bunch of COs running. You see a bunch of people moving around doing stuff they probably shouldn't be doing. And then you hear that shot. So you don't want to be on that yard when, you know, I stepped on the yard at 17. Right after my 17th birthday, I walked on Delano Prison, North Kern. And right soon as I got on the yard went down. And all I seen was like a bunch of weapons, you know? Like, you had a bunch of people on catwalks. That's when they still was able to wear their guns, their pistols on the side. Mm. So,
right. That's
the type of, like I said, I can't speak for the female that's been in prison. But for myself, you know, going to jail and going at a young age, it didn't register until maybe my last 5 years. You know, I didn't think I was going home neither. I just seen a long date, 17, and I was doing a lot of stuff to try to survive fighting or, you know, whatever. But, you know, that's the way that I had to live. But you don't. You can go to school.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell your friends, you know, that it's not cool and help them understand.
Let me interject a question for all three of you. Was there a time in your youth where the idea of going to prison wasn't a big deal?
Yep.
It was no big deal. It's like, I'm going to go serve my time. I'm going to come out harder.
It makes most people feel like they have to go to see their homies. You know,
I want to see
my homies.
Join their homies, huh?
Hey, look, but it's an accomplishment.
What'd you say, Petra?
It's a rite of passage. I wanted to go. All my friends were going. That's the place to be. But not knowing that. This is taking me away from my family. Mm-hmm. I had a child at 16. Mm-hmm. So now my son is growing up without his mother, which is not fair to him. It's not fair to his grandmother who had to raise him while I was in prison. Mm-hmm. And then I like men. There's nothing but a bunch of women in here. So I'm not happy about that.
Right.
And then someone is telling me when I can take a shower, when I have to turn the lights off, when I can come out of my room, when I can use telephone, when I can watch the TV. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. Right. I don't want to be under someone else's control where they can tell me when I can pee,
that you just said should be the deterrent to encourage us, just don't go. Right. Whatever you have to do to stay out of there, this is what we have to be about as a people.
See, here's the thing that's fighting against us.
Okay.
Or let me say that fought against me, is there were people who glorified it.
Yes.
There were people who said, oh, man, that's like you said, when you're 17 and you hit the yard and Delano, North Kern County and all this and that, and people talking to me about, man, you don't want to get on C status, you get a 115 and all this, and I'm in jail. Like, what is that? Yeah. And they saying, man, when yard is down and they talking about the dudes got the guns and this and that, and, man, you don't want to get shot, and everybody else survived, and everybody went in at 140 pounds. They come out 175. They all thick muscle. And swole. All muscle and here I am at 125 muscle pounds. Head. Like I need to go to prison. You know, I don't care. Not that I need to go,
maybe
but
if
I don't
go
care.
To jail and
but
get
I don't
what
care.
They got as far as size and
but buff. Because they but then here let me tell you the problem too. The problem came when everyone was telling me if I go to jail, I'm too yellow, my hair too long, and I'm too small. Mm-hmm. But they gonna touch you, boy. They gonna be in there touching you, right? So as soon as I go to juvenile hall. And it ain't that they want to touch me. The little Harlem Crips come up and say, hey, we need that in the back. So I'm like, oh, well, I fought him at Audubon already. Mm-hmm. So I go fight the same people I've been fighting. So I'm thinking this was going to be something horrible. These is really my friends. Even though we fighting, we grew up together.
You know each other.
So we know each other. And once we do that in juvenile hall and then we do it again in jail, by the time I get to prison, I'm used to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've adapted to it. And that's horrible because there's nothing you can scare me with now. Yeah. You cannot scare me with going to prison because I know how to jail. Mm-hmm. So that's what I don't want the young people to get is that being comfortable in those situations. Because like I said, I'm uncomfortable at my grandmama house and I was uncomfortable at my auntie house and I don't want to be comfortable in jail. Mm-hmm.
And you know the one thing about law enforcement? They never let you forget it. Mm. They will never let you forget that they used to have you in their custody. Right. Mm-hmm. They'll never let you forget that. And that's the one choke chain. We don't want our young children to be concerned with having to be burdened with that. You see, because our whole revelation this year is now they're making $75,000 per cot, per inmate. Mm. So you're a money-making provider if you want to make yourself available to them.
If you sign up for it.
Yes, if you sign up for it, they'll be happy to take you and keep you and get paid for
it. And your mattress is free.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But I don't know. I'd rather pay for mine.
Yes, huh?
Yes. I'd rather pay my rent, pay my bills, pay my taxes.
I love my soft bed.
Go in my refrigerator when I want to. Yeah.
Okay.
Hug my mama.
Yeah. So listen, hug your mama for me. But let me ask Leah. Let's because we're gonna run out in about 10 minutes. So, Leah, I need you to take this opportunity where you got Petra on the line, who's been to state prison and federal prison, and talked about she was very intelligent growing up and made those wrong choices. So I really need you to take advantage and ask her some things that would help you going back home this evening. Huh? No, I can't hear you out this ear right now.
You gotta say something.
Right. So when we on the radio,
you have to talk.
It's live, so you have to say.
When I go home today, what should I tell the people that, like, do the things that they do?
Well, no, it's not about them. It's about you. Yeah, I want you to be all right.
What are they doing that has you concerned, Leah? What are they doing that has you concerned? Let's be specific about that.
Like throwing up signs? Stuff?
Throwing up signs. Same are they stuff? Throwing them up to you or just throwing them up?
Just throwing them up.
Just throwing
in
them
front
up.
Of people.
So I'm just trying to understand what you're facing here. You have a group of wannabes, okay, and they spend their time showing you what they want to be.
Is you might want to press mute, Petra. You sound like you're riding a motorcycle.
Okay. Is that directed at you specifically?
I'm
trying to put her in
this car. Oh, okay,
girl.
Press mute for this second, though.
Yeah. Is it directed at you specifically, or is it just their general posture? They just like that every day? That's their...
They're pretty much like that every day.
They're like that every day. So they're more or less like a clique in your school.
Or is in the neighborhood?
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood, okay.
Right.
That's more of a direct threat when you're living around that.
Right, but here's the thing. So what I'm hearing is, what do I tell them when I get home? And I hope you don't think that all this is about you helping them. This is for you.
Yeah, this is
so
for you.
So you might go someplace and they say, hey, don't take it personal. I want you to take this personal. This is for you. I want you to be alive and well, not dead or in jail, not serving 12 or 17 years in prison, or not playing with the jail system like I did, running in and out. I thought I really lived there for a long time. I would just show back up.
You did.
So
they were trying to keep you, Skip.
I don't want you to get comfortable like that. So is there anything that you're going to take and be able to use for yourself when you leave here this evening? And what's that going to be?
That respect for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the biggest thing, too.
That's the biggest thing.
That's the biggest thing.
To care about yourself. Go ahead, Patrick.
When you realize how much you're worth, even when nobody else does, that's why they call it self-esteem.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you believe in yourself and you love yourself, nobody else can feel your joy because they're not the ones giving it to you in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So don't let people steer you in the wrong direction because guess what? All of the people that I felt loved me when I was doing wrong in the streets, when I went to prison, none of them were there. I couldn't call them to collect. They didn't come visit me. The family that I neglected, that I didn't want to listen to, were the ones that came to visit me, put money on my books. My mother, my son.
Yes.
Not those friends that I was doing wrong with in the streets. So when you go to jail or end up in a hospital bed, that's when you find out who your friends really are.
Yeah, isn't
and
that the
definitely
truth?
Not the people in the streets that you're following behind.
That's true. Well, it seems that Leah came to find out how to migrate around the element that's really in her environment. And that's really the most important message that we need to leave her with. How does she migrate around that element that may be a threat to her? Skip?
Well, I know the one thing. I didn't mean to cut you off, Petra, but I know the one thing is that I wake up every morning too, Leah, and I want to help people not be dead or in jail. I want to help people not be violent offenders. And the number one thing I can do to help them is not be one of them. Mm-hmm. I can't be the violent offender. I can't be the one dead or in jail. Mm-hmm. So I know that it starts with me. Mm-hmm. As soon as I wake up every morning, if I want to help somebody, I got to start with self first. I got to make sure that I'm making the right choices because yes. I don't want to be dead. And, you know, I want people to feel the way I feel. I don't want you to want to be dead either. Yeah. And if you don't want to be dead, then listen to me, and we're going to go down this right path. I'm going to learn math. You know why I'm going to learn math? Because I don't want to be dead. And I don't want to be in jail. I don't want to go robbing banks. I hang out with Petra, and she's a bank robber. You know what I mean?
So
I
don't anymore.
Not anymore. But
yeah,
I don't,
not
I don't,
anymore.
So I don't want to. I don't want to be dead in jail.
That I did. That's not who I am. That's just something stupid that I did. Because I didn't know better.
In your youth. In your youth.
In my youth.
Yes, yes. And you know what? I keep wanting people to remember. Those are the years that our children are the most confused. And that's in the teen years. Yeah. And they think their peers' opinion is more important than the one that gave you birth and fed you till you met exactly. those strangers that led you astray. You see, but it is what it is. Our children just are who they are. And we owe it to them to give them the best guidance we can, but then they have to go out and use it.
Right. So here's the thing. I might not get that pat on the back from my friends.
Yeah.
I might not get that pat on the back from my parents.
Yeah.
I might not get that a boy, you doing good.
Yeah.
But I still got to be all right anyway if nobody recognizes that I'm doing the right thing. So, Leah, I want to ask you, are you okay with that? If you are working hard at being a good person and nobody recognizes it, are you still going to be okay and continue to be the best that you can be?
Yeah.
You said that real fast.
Yeah.
Then you are going to be all right. That's a step in itself.
Right.
Well, has this helped you any?
Yes.
Has it?
Okay, so let me ask you this. Can you leave the young people who are looking up to you? So you're 13 or 14?
I'm 12.
12. Okay, so there's a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old. You know what they want to be like? They don't want to be like Marcus. They don't want to be like Sister Heron. They don't want to be like me. They don't even want to be like Petra because she on the radio. I mean, on the phone. We can't even see her.
Hmm.
So you know who they want to be like? The 9, 10-year-old, they want to be like you. So I need you to leave them a message right now. What do you want to tell them?
Focus on yourself. And don't get caught up in stuff you don't want to be caught up in. Mm-hmm. Like in gang violence or anything.
All right. Well said. Marcus, you got to tell them something, too, because there's somebody who hadn't done 17 years. They did 7, and they looking at you. They want to be like you. So what you going to tell them?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to tell you. I don't want you to be like me because, you know, I was foolish back then. I didn't listen to nobody. I didn't.
Hardhead.
I believed. I knew it all. My mama told me stuff, and I would, you know, just do the opposite on purpose, you know, so. If it's somebody listening, if it's a 17-year-old me, then I'm going to tell them to basically be an individual, you know, and don't follow what you don't really understand, you know.
Right.
And don't follow blindly if it's going to cost you your safety.
Yes,
right.
Sir.
Yeah.
And Petra, you too. There are so many people want to be like you. Right. No, seriously.
Well,
the new you. The
that
new
I
you.
Was back right. then, I don't want them to be like the person. I was back then either. I wish I knew at 14 and 15 what I know at 42. Because they say when you know better, you do better.
Mm-hmm.
So had I paid attention to the negative aspect of what was glorified, then I would have made different choices.
Right.
But all I saw was the glitters, the glamour, you know, the good side of it, not realizing the downside of the choices that I made. Mm.
In fairness to your generation, it was glamorized. it was glamorized. It was put on a pedestal and lifted up as it was a thing to do. It was a thing to be. And if you wasn't a part of it, you wasn't nothing. Right. So that's a blanket forgiveness that we give for that generation because, like you said, when you know better, you do better. Mm-hmm. And
absolutely.
Back then, we didn't know better.
Right.
We did not know better. But bless you, Petra and mm-hmm. Lamont and Skip. We have Leah here to make sure that her generation doesn't succumb to that.
Right. And I'm going
to
say...
Now I realize we don't have to do 17 years and 27 years. We can listen and learn from the people that have done it for us so that we don't have to follow in those footsteps mm-hmm. and make those same mistakes.
Yeah.
Right.
Can you imagine what skills you would have if you'd have spent... those 12 years in school or training, or you'd be in Europe or somewhere in Africa.
I'd be the
president right now.
Okay, girl, we need you to be too. Look, Petra for president. Okay, look, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You'd have to be a little different than the dude we got now, though.
Why? He's a criminal.
Or the Duck guy?
No, yeah, Donald Duck.
Yeah, he's a criminal. Different. He just ain't been locked up yet.
His entire family.
But there's still hope.
Right. Well, sister, you know we're about to run out of time, so I want to just ask everybody, would they keep their head to the sky?
Petra, love you, girl.
Thank you,
And know, Leah, that you a role model now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're a leader, Leah.
I want to be like you when I grow up.
Okay. God bless your community family. Thank you for listening. And Gang Talk will be back next week.